People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Bizarre Tales. Now, first things first, I want to do a quick shout out to all of you guys out there who have left us a review. There's been a lot of comments on the group for some of you guys who have put some messages out there onto iTunes for us. So thank you very, very much for that. I will just give a quick read of the three that have come through so far. I know there are more. So thank you everyone for leaving us a review. Always happy to get especially a 5-star, so thank you very, very much. This one particularly was about Bergman. It says, that was an odd episode, but I really enjoyed your new program design. This has become one of my favorite shows. Well done, guys. I like hearing a more serious side of you two. Since I last wrote a review, I've started enjoying your new format even more. I love the silliness at the beginning. Unfortunately today, Paul, we don't have any silliness at the beginning because I'm on my own. So it would just be me telling jokes to me. So I'll give you a little joke before we start. That'll be as good as the silliness you get. Another one. This one's from Ryan of Mon Valley. Another 5-star review. This is a great podcast with a variety of topics, and the hosts do a great job of delivering the story. Great to listen to and very entertaining. So thank you for that one. And the next one is from JP Hark. Another 5-star review. Best podcast I've played in a while. Slowly listening to past episodes now. Well, JP Hark, you'll probably find the newer episodes are a little bit better because they're the ones with me. So yeah, I'll give you a little joke. This is one I heard a few weeks ago. So there is an Englishman, a Frenchman, and an Irishman, and they are on a desert island, and they find a lamp. It's quite a classic joke setup. But they find a lamp, they rub the lamp, genie pops out, and the genie says, "Oh, wish you can all have one wish each." So the Irishman says, "I want Ireland to be just for the Irish. I want a united Ireland. I want all the English out of Ireland. I want all the foreigners out of Ireland. I want just Irish people in Ireland." And the genie goes, "Yeah, no problem." Poof, there we go. Ireland is just full of the Irish. He says to the Frenchman, he says, "What would you wish for?" The Frenchman says, "I wish for a united France, all of French people to live in France, everybody who's not French out of France. In fact, I'd go as far as saying I want a big wall put up all the way around France so only French people can be in France, no foreigners in there, no one at all." And the genie says, "Yeah, that's fine. There's your wish." He says to the Englishman, he says, "What's your wish?" The Englishman says, "This wall you've put around France, how good is it?" And then the genie says, "Oh, it's, you know, 100 feet high all the way around. It's watertight, it's airtight, no one in, no one out." And the Englishman goes, "All right, then fill it with water." There we go. That's your joke for you. I don't know whether you found that funny or not. And if there's any French listening, I'm sure you appreciate the banter. Although, I have a funny feeling there isn't any French listening. If we have got any French listening, let me know. This week, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, I am on my own. We are talking about the county of Cheshire. Okay. Now, Cheshire is quite a famous county in England. It's a very, very old county. Okay, now it borders, it's in the northwest of England, and it borders Merseyside, Greater Manchester, Derbyshire, Staffordshire, Shropshire, and Wales. Alright, so just to give you a bit of an idea how big this county is, it's in the top north corner of Wales. It doesn't have what we would consider a huge population, especially in comparison to the other counties of England. it's famous for things like cheese. You know, we get Cheshire cheese. It is not necessarily, like I said, the most populated, but it is steeped in history. It is steeped in a lot of problems as well. It's the site of many battles. There is a lot of civil war battles that happened in Cheshire. It'll be with it being right by Merseyside or Liverpool, that area. It's the home of quite a lot of unrest in the country. There's normally quite a lot of unrest in the northwest of England. It borders Wales, so again, there's a lot of history from the Welsh English border, where there have been wars and battles fought and things like this. So there is quite a lot of history steeped into this one tiny area. And like I said, even though it isn't the most populated area in England, it's definitely up there with its hauntings. The first thing we're going to talk about is the Cheshire Old Hotel. Okay, now this hotel dates back to around 1656 and is now a Grade 1 listed building. Now, it has been on paranormal TV shows, this building. It has been on one of my least favourite shows, which is Most Haunted, and many of you know my reasons for that. And it has been on a few other paranormal shows. It is, without doubt, one of the most haunted places in Cheshire, if not possibly the country, because there are only a certain amount of areas that actually get through to TV sort of status, and this is one of them. There's a total of 14 different spirits that are said to haunt this one building, and it's very common for guests at the hotel to feel themselves being pushed underwater while taking a bath. Which to me is more horrifying than any ghost story I've ever heard. You know, the fear of being pushed underwater is a lot more than just being pushed down the stairs or rolled out of bed or, you know, pushed in the back. It almost feels malicious at that point. Other reports of waking up at 3 a.m. Convinced that the room is on fire. So again, there are quite malicious spirits here. One of the most frequently spotted ghosts at the old hotel is that of Sir John Radcliffe, who was the original owner. So again, you know, we're talking about nobility here. So they're not just ghosts, these are famous ghosts. He's a tall man, seen in 17th century attire. There's also a grey lady who is said to be searching for her child. And this story actually ties in with the history of the house, because there was a baby skeleton that was found in the wall during the reservations. So a lot of people have said that this grey lady, and this was before the reservations happened, people were seeing this grey lady saying it looks like she's looking for a lost child or something like that. Turns out that she probably was. So they found a baby in the wall, or a baby skeleton. So maybe that spirit is a little bit more at rest now, but I doubt it very much. Some of the other spirits include a cat, a dog, several children, and probably my biggest fear, along with the child ghost, is this one, which is an old lady in a rocking chair. That to me is just, I don't know. I mean I went to see The Woman in Black in the theatre in London, and that's one of the things in it. You literally have this old rocking chair and this woman that's supposed to haunt the theatre. Obviously it's not as part of the play, but this woman in a rocking chair, and it just, I mean, that's haunted me. And I was only a kid when I saw it, but that image has haunted me for years. And yeah, an old woman in a rocking chair, even now it's giving me goosebumps. So there's also been a weird one, which is someone in a beekeeper's uniform. Now that's not something I would assume as a ghost, but there we go. There is a ghost of a beekeeper in the old hotel as well. Now, we're going to go to Rowton Moor. Now, during the English Civil War, thousands of English soldiers met their end. And it was a very, very bloody civil war. For those of you who are interested in the English Civil War, there is a group of episodes, I believe. I don't think I did it in one, on This Week in History, which is my podcast. So if you type that in, you'll come up with the English Civil War. But during the English Civil War, like I said, there was thousands of people, and they weren't killed nicely. These were brutal deaths. These were there's a lot of people were executed, a lot of people were captured, and once they were captured, that was it. You know, they were put to the sword or shot. We didn't really take prisoners in the Civil War. One site that saw some of the highest death toll was Rowton Moor. Now, it's no surprise that it is one of the must-see spots in Cheshire for hauntings. So it's definitely worth having a look at if you ever do go there. It's essentially just a field. You know, it sounds mental, but there are a lot of spirits and there's a lot of activity in this one area. And the Battle of Rowton Moor actually took place on September the 14th, 1645. Lord Barnard Stewart and Marmaduke Langdale led the King Charles's Royalist Army against Oliver Cromwell's Parliamentarians, which were led by Colonel Michael Jones. During the battle, more than 600 Royalists were killed, including Lord Barnard Stewart. Now, if you pay a visit to Rowton Moor around the anniversary of the battle, you may catch a glimpse of his ghost riding on horseback across the moor. There are also reports of music echoing in the distance, which is thought to be played by King Charles's court musician, William Laws, who also died on the battlefield. So this is one where there's a lot of activity in the area, and again, with that sort of a story and that sort of a backing, I mean, I would love to go there and just hear this medieval, I say medieval, 1600s isn't medieval, but hear this Stuart era type of music and find out what it is. So, you know, I'd love to. I think that might be one of my top places to visit around September the 14th. That'd be a hard one. My daughter's birthday's on September the 15th, so unless she came with me, she'd be really annoyed that I disappeared for her birthday. But yeah, that sounds like one I think me and Lee may have to go and check out ourselves when we get our Netflix deal. No, we're not really getting a Netflix deal. Although if you do know anyone from Netflix, you know, let us know. We'll be quite happy to do a Haunted England series, but on TV. I think that would be amazing. But if we ever do get that rich and famous, God forbid, then that'll be on their list. The next one, Hertford Hall Hotel. Again, this is another 17th century building. So a lot of these, like I said, Cheshire is really old. So a lot of these apparitions are sort of 500-600 years old. The Hertford Hall dates back to the 17th century and has formerly served as a nunnery and a manor house. So, like we always say, there's always got to be a nun or a monk. It is also said to be haunted. Guests and staff have reported seeing ghosts of a nun, obviously. She is supposed to have been killed when she was bricked into a wall at the nearby abbey. The nun is held responsible for all sorts of unexplained happenings around Hertford Hotel. And you can stay at this hotel, so you can actually get a booking and you can stay there overnight. Now, this seems to be quite common, that they're finding bodies of nuns and bodies of monks in walls. Now, it must have just been like that punishment back in the day, where if you sort of stepped out of line, they just bricked you into a room and just left you there. Which, to me, I've got to say, it's got to be one of the worst ways to go. You know, because you don't know when it's going to happen. You've only got a limited amount of food or water. And, you know, what do you do? I don't know. I can imagine that would be quite a distressed type of spirit, because it's not had, you know, it's not had a very pleasant end to life. The next place we're going to is Tatton Park Mansion. And this is a beautiful Grade 1 listed house in the country. And it is run by the National Trust now. So it is a building that the government pay to keep up. You know, it's one of those ones they look after. And originally, Tatton Hall was the original manor in Tatton Park. And it was much grander than what it is now. The Tatton Park Mansion was built in 1716. So again, we're talking 400 or 500 years ago. The building is said to be haunted, and visitors often report being touched by invisible hands and hearing phantom footsteps. There have also been reports of a dark, ghostly figure in not only the house, but also in the gardens. This one always confuses me, is when people say they can see something in the gardens and then they look back and it's not there, I always wonder, have they actually seen something? Because it's one of the, you know, if you, you know, right now I just look out my window and there's nobody there, but if I was to look out the window and see someone and then look back 2 seconds later and they're not there, could I say that's a ghost, or could I just say that person's moved? I'm not really sure when people say they see them through, you know, in the gardens, but you know, with a building that old, it's very possible that that it is. I'm always a little bit skeptical with things like that. The Pied Bull Hotel. This is a historic hotel in Chester, and this one dates back all the way to the 11th century. So now we're talking, you know, 1,000 years old. It is believed to be the oldest continually licensed premises in Cheshire. So again, I did an episode on, I think it's called the Cock and Bull Inn, which is in St. Albans, which is the oldest pub in Britain. This one's going to be a very close to this date. It's almost self-explanatory that a premises this old is going to have some sort of hauntings or some sort of spirits. In fact, this is one of the most haunted places in Cheshire. The cellar is the focal point for the hauntings, so much so that staff don't like to go down there on their own. So even now you've got people, grown adults, saying, "I'm not going down there." You've got to send me with someone. The story goes that a man named John Davies fell down the stairs of the cellar in 1609 while holding a knife and tragically died as a result of the accident. It is thought to be his ghost that still haunts the cellar. There are also said to be spirits of former chambermaids present in the upstairs bedrooms as well. Now, most of these hotels tend to have some form of spirit, especially the chambermaid or, you know, butler, if you're going into the, you know, the posher types of hotels, bellboys, things like that. They tend to be quite common in these places, but I've never heard of someone falling down a cellar. And I don't, you know, maybe he was holding the knife up. You know, this is why we always tell kids, point the knife down. Maybe he was holding it up. And he fell on the knife. Doesn't actually give any details on whether he died from the fall or whether he died from the knife, but I would assume the knife, otherwise it's almost a pointless anecdote to the story. Yeah, that is somewhere you can actually stay as well. So you can stay there, which, the Pied Bull. Yeah, there we go. For anyone who's ever interested in staying in a haunted hotel, the Pied Bull in Cheshire, maybe they'll let you go down to the cellar. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Now, the next one we're going to is Capesthorne Hall. It has been standing for nearly 1,000 years. Again, these are huge old buildings that we have in Cheshire. So as you might imagine, there is plenty of history surrounding it. And again, with building this age, it has its fair share of ghost stories too. There are various spirits that call Capesthorne Hall home, but one of the most commonly reported is an apparition of a grey lady who is spotted in the west of the building. There is also a grouping of shadow figures seen walking down the stairs that lead to the chapel. Now, I would put this down to possibly a group of nuns or a group of monks walking in one sort of one group on their way down to a chapel. This could potentially be a time lapse, or even, like I said, a spirits. I don't know. I would probably go with something like that, with a group, probably like a moment in time that's frozen, that replays over and over again for no real apparent reason. Perhaps, though, the most frightening experience that people have here is that visitors have reported is an experience with a disembodied arm. Just an arm. The story goes that one of the younger members of the Bromley family was in bed when a banging on the bedroom window he was heard. He went up to check it and he saw a disembodied arm attempting to open the window. Naturally, he froze in terror. I think I probably would too. But then he just stood and watched it disappear into thin air. Now, again, I'm not sure on that story. You know, he could have been drunk and it's just a twig. I don't know. But either way, I think if you walked over to a window and saw what you believe to be an arm trying to open the window, but just the arm, yeah, I think that would freak you out just a little bit. And the next one we're going to is the George and the Dragon. Okay, so it's no surprise that the George and Dragon Hotel is haunted, especially when you look at it. It's got that old Tudor style building, so a lot of people in England will know this style of building. It's thin at the bottom, it's got a little bit of an overhang around the building. It's the top of the building is painted white with black lines down it. Almost looks like a Grimsby Town kit all the way around the building. That is what I call the old Tudor style buildings. And it's no surprise, like I said, that this is haunted when you consider the fact that it sits just outside the notorious Northgate Arch, which is also known for its paranormal activity. The George and Dragon is a stunning Victorian building. Okay, it's Victorian, but it is in the Tudor style, so anyone can argue that. That occupies the ground that straddles the old Roman road. And this is likely why it's said to be haunted by the spirits of Roman soldiers. Roman military law meant that legionaries were not allowed to be buried inside the fortress, so memorials instead lined the road. These have been moved to Cheshire's Grosvenor Museum, but it seems the spirits of the soldiers have remained. Staff and customers at the George and Dragon have reported hearing marching footsteps beneath the floors, following the same route that the Roman road would have taken. The noise is loudest in the cellars, which are closer to where the original level of the road would have been, since the current road is several feet higher. Again, this is another place where you can stay. These are actual hotels that you can book rooms in, so this is definitely Cheshire is definitely somewhere where I think we might be visiting, just to see. I mean, I'd love to hear an old Roman legion and what they actually sounded like. And you know, it's amazing. It's something that you probably don't really imagine that you would hear ever. Well, you wouldn't hear ever, especially nowadays. But I suppose if you got an opportunity to hear something like that, I think most people would probably take it. Very interesting, especially when you look at the George and Dragon, have a look at where it's situated. You can definitely tell it's a Roman road. The Romans were notorious for building straight roads. They put no bends or no curves. They were literally dead straight. And a lot of Britain was obviously built on Roman roads. I mean, even now, the A1, for example, which is one of the biggest main roads or motorways in Britain, it is an old Roman road. It goes all the way from London all the way up to Scotland in the north. So, you know, these we still use the Roman roads. To be honest, most of them are better than what the councils can do. The councils make shit roads in comparison. So, anyway, digressing a little bit. The next place we're going to, ladies and gentlemen, is Shrigley Hall. A Shrigley Hall Hotel is a beautiful manor set in the picturesque Cheshire countryside. However, it is not the luxury features that attract many visitors, but rather the resident's ghost who calls the building home. There is not too much information out there about the ghost, other than a handful of reports from guests, and it is not known who the spirit might be. Reports from the guests mention a spirit walking into the bathroom, unexplained noises and cold spots. Noted mediums have also visited the building and said that it is very, very active, which is probably why there are regular ghost hunts in the property. Now, this one always confuses me, things like this, because there are definitely something there. There are definitely? Oh, terrible English. There is definitely something there, but whether it's a ghost or whether, you know, I always find when there's no backstory to ghost stories, I find them very hard to believe. I don't know how many of you guys feel with that one, but I definitely feel that if there isn't a backstory, I almost don't believe it. You know, I've been on ghost hunts with people. You know, I've heard people pretend to be mediums and pretend to have spirits talk through them, and oh, you know, I've got this ghost, and it's like, yeah, but you haven't. And this is, you know, this is why I hate things like Most Haunted, because it's just, you know, oh, did you see that? No, it's just conveniently off camera, but everything else, you know, it just irritates me. And I think, to me, when there's stories like that, where they're obviously, there is something, but oh, we don't know who it is, or where it's come from, or there's no history to it, especially a building like that. I mean, that building's probably 200 or 300 years old. If there's no story to it, the chances are that there's no tragedy that's happened at the building, and or there, you know, and something like that would almost suggest to me that it could be made up. I'm not saying it is, but I do think that there is a potential that one is possibly made up, or at least exaggerated for effect, especially seeing as you can again stay at the Shrigley Hall Hotel. So I think that may have been, I don't know. I'll leave that one up to you guys. If any of you do think that you can have spirits that you know, without a backstory, then let me know, because that would be interesting. Interesting to find out. Oh, we're going to finish, ladies and gentlemen, with quite a good story. And we are going to the Hack Green nuclear bunker. Okay? Now, nuclear bunkers, I would say, as a general rule, are pretty creepy. But nevertheless, when there are some resident ghosts there, it probably makes it just a little bit worse. Hack Green Nuclear Bunker has actually been on the TV show Most Haunted. And it has also been on another handful of paranormal TV shows. And I love how places put that down as if it's, you know, Most Haunted. We've been on Most Haunted. Yeah, we've got to be real. on two separate occasions, thanks to the high volume of paranormal activity. So it wasn't just on there once, it was on there twice. The secret bunker was opened to the general public in 1998 to serve as a museum. And since, both staff and visitors alike have experienced a range of strange happenings. These include full apparition of a man dressed in a uniform walking down the bunker's main corridor. There have also been two other apparitions reported in the same corridor, and staff say there is a very menacing feel to the area. Several visitors have fainted in this area as a result of negative energy. Maybe it's just low blood sugar. I don't know. The corridor is not the only place that hosts ghosts. If you go down to room 9, which was the telecommunications area, the spirit of an attractive young woman is often spotted working away at her desk. There is also a male spirit in the room who would often behave quite aggressively towards visitors. Now, I would suggest that if these apparitions are part of a secret nuclear bunker and they are stuck in that mindset, I can understand why they would act quite aggressively, because they would be thinking, you know, you're general public, you're not supposed to be down here. And I can understand the aggression from a spirit like that. And it is also fairly common for the old phones in the area to ring. This might not sound very strange, but these phones would have been disconnected years ago. I mean, and I'm not just talking like 10 years ago, they would probably have been disconnected in the 60s or 70s when the bunker was put into disrepair. They certainly wouldn't have been reconnected in the 90s when they opened it. It would have just been left, you know, just completely left unconnected. So for them to ring, I think is quite creepy. However, perhaps the most active area in the bunker is the theatre. Here, visitors often feel themselves being touched or pushed by unseen hands, and they hear moans and unexplained banging. Visitors sometimes feel unwell, and on at least one occasion, an ambulance has actually been called for a guest who was severely affected. Now, this one, I think, to me, is one of the better ghost stories. And now I love the old ghost stories. I love the ones that are hundreds of years old and you know, have the apparitions and things like that. But I always think when they're hundreds of years old, you sort of expect it. You know, I would say if you're a believer, you expect ghosts at a building that is 2, 3, 4, anything up to 1,000 years old. You know, going into a nuclear bunker that was made in the last century, that's been open to the public for 25 years and it has a massive amount of footfall going through it, you know, there's no real tragedy linked to that place, no one's ever died there. It does make you wonder, you know, how is somewhere that is so modern affected by apparitions and things like that? I always find those ones really intriguing, because like I said, it's a modern place, it's modern building, and those spirits, you know, they will be of this century. They will be spirits that have moved on in the last maybe, you know, 50 years. So again, that's a very more poignant type of ghost story, I believe. So yeah. Anyway, that is Cheshire for you guys. We do have, I believe, somebody is actually doing some research for us for one of our next podcasts. So it saves me and Lee a job. but no, they are going to be doing Cornwall for us. So Cornwall is one of the counties in England, for those of you who haven't worked that one out yet. But we have had a few people offer to write some shows for us and do little bits and pieces to help out, which is wonderful. You know, I love people who are going to come out and do that and give us a bit of a hand. So that goes out to anybody who is interested in writing a show for us. Anybody who wants to put their own spin on a show, we will be quite happy to play that for you, or even, you know, read it out. I think in this instance we'll be reading it out, but if you want to come on the show and do it from, you know, from your own bedroom or whatever, then we'll be more than happy for that as well. So the option is there for you all. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we have probably one of the most famous places in the entire world to cover for you. The next county we're going to is the City of London. Now, not to be confused with Greater London, which will be coming at a later date. The City of London is a 1 mile square in London. That is known as the capital city. In fact, It is the one place in London where the Queen has to ask permission from the mayor before she turns up. So, yeah, we have a different mayor. We have a mayor for London and a mayor for the City of London. And the City of London is the old, old part of London. So we should have quite a few stories to go through on that. I will be doing a little bit extra on the end of this episode for Patreon. So for those of you who are on Patreon, and thank you so much. We have had a few new Patreon members. Lee hasn't told me the name, so he'll have to do the shout out for you guys. Thank you very, very much for you. Again, we say it every week, the Apple subscription, people who are an Apple subscription, thank you very, very much. Again, Apple don't give us the names for you guys, so if you do want a quick shout out, if you do want to be mentioned on the show, just drop us a message and say, oh, by the way, I'm one of your Apple subscribers, and we can do it that way and give you a nice shout out, because I'm always happy to do that for our adoring fans. So yeah, thank you very much, guys. We really, really appreciate that. And we have the tip jar as well. There's been a few of you who have used that if you don't want to do the full subscription. So again, that's amazing. That keeps this podcast running. It keeps us wanting to do more and more. So yeah, if you enjoy it, like I say, I say it every week, just pop a dollar or pop a pound or whatever it is into the tip jar. It does make a massive difference to us, and yeah, we thank you very much. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you on the other side.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.